B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another day of survival. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. We need to communicate. We need to try to do something that's regular. And this show, hopefully for you guys listening and watching on TV, is a regular thing that you look forward to. We're trying to make it that way by just talking about anything that really is on our mind today. And we will do that again today. It is General Knowledge Wednesday. So we'll have a little fun today. We'll keep our mind off the pressures of everyday life. We broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, and you can follow the news as well as I can with the things apparently getting worse and more developments in the sports world where Wimbledon is now canceled. And, I was thinking about this the other day. The baseball season, we kind of take for granted that it's going to resume. But football, when we're looking at September, we're not really looking at August. Which may be unrealistic. We talked about this with Sal yesterday. Football, the start of the season, is probably in jeopardy. A baseball season that we expected to resume in June is clearly not going to resume in June. So if we have to wait till September to get clearance for anything, and that's the way it's looking, is the baseball season in danger of being canceled altogether?
With fans? Yes, I think baseball will play without fans in order to not cancel the whole season.
At this point, I can't predict anything. What's going to resume, whether it's going to resume without fans or not, I have no prediction on what possibly could happen to the sporting world in general. And I hope that our projections that things will get back to normal and we will be able to have sports with or without fans happens. But now, as time goes on and we see things that are going to get worse, and then we have Dr. Fauci saying that there could be a second wave that comes towards us in the fall, I don't know what we have sports wide. So we need to focus on like other things, I think, than sports. And I know it's tough for a lot of people, but sports right now, I think, has to be a secondary consideration. Now, obviously, we're going to talk about it. But, it used to be, sports used to be life or death. And that's been replaced by actual life and death. So, I'm trying to keep this in total perspective. And as we talk about it, we're going to have fun with it. But, I don't know what to say about whether we're going to resume sports in this day and age. Now, what we'll do today is talk about some issues that surround sports. I was really interested in reading a story by my good buddy Bob Ford. And Tyrone, I really would like to get your reaction on this. There was a story in today's Inquirer. Actually, I read it last night online. And Bob Ford said that what Joel Embiid did by offering the $500,000, thereby embarrassing his organization into pulling back their declaration that they were going to take 20% off of people's salaries who made $50,000 or less created a rift that cannot now be ever built a bridge on. Did you read the story?
I did read that story.
I'll just quote what Bob Fort says. His response, meaning Joel Embiid's, was to utterly embarrass his bosses. He did it in such a blatant and cutting way that it raises the question of whether Embiid will remain long-term with the franchise when the NBA eventually returns to whatever new version of normal lies ahead. I watched, I saw the reaction last night on Twitter. They were destroying Bob Ford last night for writing this kind of a story. What was your thought?
Yeah, I don't agree. And here's why. Fine. Oh, if they're that, first of all, if they're that thin-skinned, we talk about thin-skinned athletes all the time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we talk about thin-skinned fans that take things too far.
Uh-huh.
In Joel Embiid's opinion, the ownership made a mistake, in his opinion.
Uh-huh.
And he did something to remedy that mistake. If they're that upset, and then they reversed course.
Uh-huh.
If that causes them to say, all right, now we're getting rid of the guy because of that,
mm-hmm.
then I can't trust them as an organization that this process is ever going to work out and they're ever going to win. Because we have to agree that that initial decision mm-hmm. was a business-based decision, right?
Yes.
Is it good business to get rid of your most talented player?
Well, it depends on what
you're upset.
Well, it depends on what you get in return. But I hear what you're saying. I think this is an overreaction by the columnist, and I think it's a really. I like columns like this because it's at least it says something. It says something that you could talk about. He offers an opinion in this column that was a blatant way to undercut your organization. Now let's look at it both ways. Yes, I understand that what Embiid did may have been righteous in his mind. Was there any venom attached to it? You're damn right there was. You're damn right that Joel Embiid did this to embarrass the organization. Now, whether that is enough to get them to trade him, that's where I kind of draw the line. But he could have very well said, hey, this is a terrible thing that you're doing, and talk to them directly without the day after coming out and offering $500,000. Because you know what his motive was.
Right, but that's all right. To me, that to me, and you said as long, it depends on what you get back in return. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's the case, then they wouldn't be trading him for this reason. They'd be trading him to get better. But the way Bob Ford wrote the story, they wouldn't be trading him to improve.
They'd be trading for spite.
They'd be trading him for spite.
Yeah, it would be a spite trade. And yeah, I get it.
And that's what I mean. Like uh-huh. You're never going to win. And if that's the problem. He felt like they weren't being charitable.
Mm-hmm.
And in his response is to be charitable, even if he's doing it in a blatant way, that's not a reason to trade a guy, to me, in 2020.
All right.
Maybe in previous generations it was.
Let me ask you this. They paid him handsomely.
They do.
Right? They paid him a $148 million extension. He's on the books for $27.5 million this season. Because you argue that the Sixers have taken care of him?
Taken care of him?
Yes, with that kind of price tag.
Well, I mean, he got the going rate. I don't know if they took care of him.
He got the going rate early, though.
But
he got it with an extension.
And they put caveats in it. He wasn't a true max. Had he missed a certain number of games, which he's played more, they had outs built into that contract, too. I think he just got the going rate. I don't think they took care of him.
Okay.
I don't.
But he is being paid handsomely by the franchise.
In a preset system.
With that, do you owe them a conversation before you offer $500,000 to embarrass them?
No, not because they're paying you.
Okay.
And they paid him the going rate because the NBA set up a system where LeBron James is underpaid, but another max player is overpaid because it's an artificial ceiling. It's not like they came in and negotiated and made him, it was a max and they said, mm-hmm. oh, here's the number. So had they went above and beyond in some way, maybe. They just gave him a standard max with extra caveats, so no.
Okay, all right. Now, this is I want to talk about this with people today because it's an interesting conversation. And we're going to talk about so many other things on General Knowledge Wednesday. And one of them, you know, I started to think about the people that are making sacrifices now and how you have to cancel plans. And we heard Derek Gunn yesterday talk about that, how they had to go down a different direction with the plans that they had originally for the daughter's wedding and all that stuff. You have vacations planned now. You make these plans well in advance. Are you pulling the trigger on them now?
Yeah, I know I won't be going to the state of Florida.
And you had a vacation going to Florida.
Yeah, in August.
And that's it. You have already canceled that?
Yep, because I know because if you look at it, Let's be optimistic, pessimistic, however you want to look at it. The fact remains that every expert says flatten the curve, flatten the curve. I know we're up against a break. I'll explain later.
Okay. And I mean, there's so many other things I want to touch on, because I was also reading a story about prison guards.
Yeah.
And what, like, that's, we haven't even touched on that. We talk about delivery people and all these other things, grocery store workers. Prison guards have to be there.
Yep.
They have to be there. Like, it's like essential for them to be there. Yep. They're unprotected people. They're dealing with a populace. That's the question. Where now the prisoners are testing positive for coronavirus, however they contracted, with maybe visitors coming in, whatever. And now these prison guards who have to be there around them for a really long period of time are in jeopardy. So, I mean, there are so many little avenues of employment that we have to think of, and the people putting themselves at risk, that I just want to talk about that as well. All right, so here's General Knowledge, which is presented by Testa North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate tools in their toolbox. When precision measurements matter, be sure with Testa. Here's what we're giving away today. 5 Hurst chip trucks. We still have those snack trucks. Everybody loves them. A variety of favorite Hurst snacks. Hurst, live life with flavor. Our grand prize today, a 4-pack of tickets to Tim McGraw and Luke Combs. Tim McGraw and Luke Combs coming to Citizens Bank Park, hopefully, on Saturday, September 12th, with special guests Midland and Ingrid Andress. Go to Ticketmaster.com today and get your tickets. Today, our topics are General Knowledge, U.S. Presidential Trivia, Music General Knowledge, and Number One Hits of the 1980s in Music. And I will also say today that today is April Fool's Day. Normally, April Fool's Day is fun. The circumstances have kind of taken the fools out of April Fools, but it's also my 11th anniversary here at 97.5 The Fanatic, which was started off as not 97.5 The Fanatic. A lot of people didn't think I'd make it 6 months, and here I am, 11 years in, Tyrone.
Yep, and I got a surprise for you on the other side.
Oh, you do have a surprise?
I do, on the other side.
All right, awesome. Also, when we come out, right now we have to do our Fast Cash Contest. We do it every day. There you go. The Fanatic 500 Fast Cash Contest. You get a chance to score $500. Weekdays, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., 6 p.m., 8 p.m. We'll announce the Fan Fest keyword, and I'm about to announce that now. You have 15 minutes from right now to enter that keyword on the Fanatic app on 97.5thefanatic.com or by texting the keyword to 45911. This hour's keyword is up. UP, 2 letters. Enter the Fast Cash keyword up on the Fanatic app on 97.5thefanatic.com or just by texting up, UP, to 45911 by 15 minutes from now. You're randomly selected. You win a $500. Everybody that enters on the app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Rules for this company-wide contest or on our website, 97.5fanatic.com. So good luck. Coming back, Natalie Agadoff will join us. This is the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli's show, 2 o'clock hour, is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's Canada location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, supplies, or heating and cooling job. I assume that would be open because it's an essential business, right? The HVAC people. They have to go out there and service.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
yeah, I got a thing from my local company talking about how they're absolutely available for service.
So just like our location is still open as far as we know.
Yes.
On North 7th Street.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the Twitter poll, we'll start that right now. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Get your lawnmower zero turn on any of your small engine tools up and running again in time for spring with Paul B. Moyer and Sons online parts warehouse. Visit PoweredByMoyer.com today, working remotely with her little caricature in the corner of the screen, the great Natalie Agonoff joins us. Hello, Nat.
Hi, Mike. Today's poll, over 100 votes on this one early. Do you think the Sixers would trade Joel Embiid after he offered to pay Sixers employees that were going to have a salary reduction? 16% say yes, 84% say no.
Yes, and that was pretty much the reaction. People were downright angry that that column was even written.
I was angry.
He made one.
He made a really big
one
mistake.
That was a really big error that you can't make.
The 180 thing?
Yes.
You see, I think that he was knowing, he knew about the 180, and he just put it in quotations just to highlight that whole caper. I don't think he was unaware, Bob Ford, of the 180.
No, because he said, he that directly was quoted and said that he even changed his Twitter handle. And his Twitter handle was changed because of the Jeopardy question.
Before the salary reduction, he changed it.
Uh-huh. Because the guy asked, instead of the process, they said that his nickname was Dual 180. And that night, he immediately changed it. That was before the league even was shut down.
Yeah.
He had changed it to Dual 180.
Yeah. I mean, the only reference I see to that in his story is Embiid sent out a Twitter message saying, "In these trying times, I'm proud of the Sixers organization for reversing course and," quote, "doing a 180.
No, there was another line in there. I believe they took it out.
Oh, they took it out?
Yeah, because it was incorrect.
I didn't read that one. This is the only one that I saw.
Yeah.
And I saw, they must have taken it out before I looked at it last night.
Yeah, if you read it last night, I read it yesterday afternoon, and it was still in there.
Okay, well, then you're right about that. Well, because I saw all the comments about it, and I said, wait, I didn't see where he did that.
Yeah, and that weakens the argument in a big way, in my opinion.
It does. It does. But see, I love columns. We don't have enough of them, frankly, that enable you to talk about them. I mean, let's face it. Back in the day, the Stan Hockman columns and, whoever were the great columnists in this city, they said something, man. They went out and it was their own opinion and bump you if you don't like it. So let's talk, and that's what I like about columns. That's what a columnist's role is. He has an opinion, whether it's ultra strong or not, it's going to get reaction out of people. To me, it's a compelling column.
No, it's not that it's not a compelling column. And maybe he's right. Maybe he knows. This guy's been in the business how long?
He's covered the NBA for a lot of years.
That's what I'm saying.
Former Sixer beat writer.
See, he's been around a lot. Maybe he knows that this type of thing will lead to issues come...
Maybe he's just making a statement to get a reaction out of people. Hey, columnists can do that. Sometimes they do that.
See, I read it and I thought the intent was almost a little bit to paint Joel Embiid in this kind of like manner where he's doing things to undermine the organization. When I read it and when Joel did it, I thought his intentions were pure, that he just wanted to help since the organization was going to do that.
It's possible that Bob Ford doesn't like Joel Embiid.
That's kind of how I read it, but I'm also protective of Joel.
I remember the days when Stan Hockman, they were like Charles Barkley a little
bit.
Yeah.
Adam Hammer and Tong. All right. So one thing I wanted to mention here, because I realized it last night, what an idiot I am.
What do you mean?
Well, I was talking yesterday on yesterday's show about my coup of finding toilet paper.
Yeah.
12-pack.
Yeah.
I don't have it.
What?
What do you mean?
I don't have the 12-pack.
What do you mean?
It doesn't exist
in my house.
What?
So
did you check the receipt? Did you buy it?
I threw it. See, here's what I did. I bought other stuff with it. Now, there are three things that could have happened here. Either I initially picked up that toilet paper, and then I put it down to get other stuff and forgot about it, or I did check it out, and I left it at the cashier and just took the other bag of stuff. Or I left it in my car, which I leave open, and somebody stole it.
Why do you leave your car open?
Sometimes I forget to hit the latch.
Oh, my God.
Right. So
it's in my driveway, and it's, driveways.
Somebody saw it. It's
house.
Like gold right now.
I don't know what happened. Here's what I know. I don't have it. Because I go, it's time. I'm going to sort out my toilet paper, put it in the various bathrooms. And I couldn't find it. It doesn't. I go, I leave it in the garage normally. I come in that way and I leave it in there. Not there. Searched every closet, every room where I could have dropped it off. It's a big, cumbersome thing.
Yeah.
Right? So you're not going to, can't find it. So I either left it at the store or it was taken out of my car.
Well, did you, all right, that's step one then. That stinks. Did you get your wine?
Tomorrow it's coming. The delivery was actually water.
Okay. You actually got that.
Yes, I got the water.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
The water was actually in my house. Because the lovely lady that brings my dog back from daycare, Cheyenne, I'll give her a shout out. When she takes my dog back, if there's something on my porch, she brings it in for me, too.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice of her?
Very nice.
Yeah. So I got the water. The wine's coming tomorrow, supposedly.
Well, maybe.
I'm not going to be there for the wine delivery.
Chances are I'm not going to be there for the wine delivery. Leave a note like the person said yesterday.
I am going to leave a note. And somebody from UPS contacted me and said, we have relaxed the signature rules on it. So it is possible that they'll leave it.
Yes.
If you leave a note.
And before you get to the phones, there was one last thing you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
That because we're not fully tuned in because we didn't start at the same time. But it's your 11-year anniversary.
That is correct.
Today.
I started 11 years ago on April Fool's Day. There you go.
Yay!
It's the Flintstones. Thank you. Thank you, friend Barney, and the rest of the crew for a happy anniversary. Yes. And a lot of people in the city thought it was an April Fool's joke when I came on the air that day, Tyrone.
Yeah, you know, he ended up winning. I didn't know.
Actually, April Fool's is very special to me because
you've done some good ones.
I pulled two April Fool's pranks on the air.
One of them I was around for sure.
You were? You were around for the shilling one?
Yes.
You were around for the shilling one?
Yeah.
All right, so you were way back when. And people that remember this, I actually had Schilling participate in it.
Yeah.
This is when he was pitching for the Phillies.
And, I wasn't working that, but I...
Yeah, I traded Curt Schilling to the Cleveland Indians. And I even conned my coworker, Steve Fredericks, who knew nothing about it. And so I came out, I said, I have a breaking story. So what I did was to Steve, for the two straight breaks, I went and started talking on my cell phone. And this really secret conversation. He goes, who are you talking to? I said, I can't tell you right now. I'm still working on it. So then I did it another break. And then we came back on the air. And I said, Steve, I got sources that confirmed it now. I said, the Phillies have traded Curt Schilling to the Cleveland Indians, and I had the whole trade down. I forget who I had involved.
Yeah, there were decent players, in the return.
Steve went berserk.
Mm-hmm.
What? I can't believe the Phillies would be boneheaded enough. Blah, blah, blah. I go, I'm trying to get in touch with Schilling now. Let's see if we can confirm it. And then we went another segment, and they were in New York. And I had called them earlier in the day. I said, listen, man, do me a favor. Just call and play along. This is what I'm doing. He goes, all right, sounds like fun. So he calls up and he goes, yeah, I just want to tell Philadelphia fans I'm going to miss them. And it's been a wonderful few years.
Appreciate his time.
And Fredericks is going, Kurt, I'm apoplectic. He went nuts. And I took Schilling through the whole conversation. And at the end, I dropped the hammer.
That was a great one.
Yeah. And the second one I did, because you can't do them every year.
Right.
Years later, I had the Phillies acquiring Miguel Tejada from the Oakland Athletics.
You were working with Anthony.
I was working with Anthony at the time.
I was there.
You were?
I was at a remote. And I was at the remote. It was in Cherry Hill when you did it.
And I went outside and I called in as Miguel Tejada.
Doing the accent.
Yeah. So you were there for that.
I was there for that.
All right.
I was physically in the room.
But then everybody was on to me. So any April Fools that I would do, everybody was like, he's just doing an April Fool's joke. So they don't last very long. All right, let's go to the phones and talk to the people. Start with Drew from Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew!
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, man?
I call first. How you doing, man?
Good.
Good. Just another day of self-quarantine, man. I'm halfway through it, so hopefully another week I'll get to hug my kids again.
Yeah, it's tough, so, man.
Looking forward towards that. So, anyway, happy anniversary to you. And
thank you.
About the NBA and NHL seasons, mm-hmm. I really think at this point, and you know, you made a very poignant statement earlier when you said, you know, sports are, you know, to us life and death, but we're talking about real life and death stuff right now. So I think you got to just kind of cut your losses at this point.
I'd be honest with you, and this is hard for me to say this. It's not really that important to me to think about seasons resuming. I really,
I'm with you.
It's not even in my wheelhouse at this point.
It's not in mine either, Mike. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm willing to live with that and, you know, put my selfishness aside and just say, you know what, there's much, much more pressing matters out there in this world right now.
Hopefully we live long enough that we can reflect, like 20 years from down the road, we can reflect. Remember 2020? Man, remember how we had to manage without sports, blah, blah, blah. And it'll be a fireside chat story, you know?
Yeah, and we'll tell our kids about it, and they'll remember it too, maybe, and tell their kids about it.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
All right, man, you want a general knowledge question? Here we go, start things off.
All right,
you like those country people, don't you?
Country? Yeah, well, my sister-in-law does.
You like that big concert that we're giving out here with...
Yeah, Tim McGraw, baby,
Tim McGraw, you're a big Tim McGraw fan. How about Luke Combs?
No idea.
How about Midland and Ingrid Andress?
Who?
No idea.
All right, let's go. here's the question. On what island did the term mafia originate?
Ooh, the only island I could... Sicily?
That is correct. Sicily... I should have actually changed that question. What area of Italy did the term mafia originate?
Well, Sicily is an island. Italy's kicking it.
See, I get some of those genes.
Yeah.
You never know when I'm going to blow.
Yeah, it's not shocking. Here's the thing. Speaking of the Joel Embiid thing,
yes.
If there was ever a person that works here who was going to do a Joel Embiid-esque thing, like, stick it to the man.
Yeah.
You're the likely candidate. Is that fair to say?
Uh-huh.
Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah.
That you would have been the guy. Now, listen, but I will say out loud, because I know for a fact, you would absolutely have the right motive. You wouldn't necessarily be looking to stick it to the man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's why I think Joel Embiid reacted. I don't think he necessarily thought it through and just said and made a phone call. I think he just reacted. He saw something he didn't like, and I think you would do the same thing.
I would, because I don't know how I grew up this way or how I learned it, but I learned all my life to question authority.
Yep.
And authority should not be absolute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's always a hole in it.
Yep.
So, and I'm sure he's that same way. He's learned to be that way. You know, I think he's come such a long way in his life that... He has those instincts to question authority.
I also think that he seems like the type who just has like a natural empathy for people.
Yes.
That's what I get
because
from him. Just
you know, you think where he grew up. You almost grow up with that natural affinity for people and their stories.
Yeah, and that's why the story made me mad, because the way that I perceive him personally is that he had good intentions, and it wasn't necessarily, oh, I'm going to get back at management.
Yeah, I don't think it was enough thought put into it to say, I think he saw something, thought, that's BS, I'm going to do something, and didn't even think through how will this look for this person, that person. Like, I'm sure... after the fact, or even when it brought up, he might have thought about it and got angry. Yeah, I don't think he thought automatically... bleep them. I think he's probably right about that,
but you see,
it happens so quick. Is my point. Like,
the last thing I saw with him in management is that Super Bowl picture, where you're hunky dory hanging out with everybody, right? So that leads me to believe he didn't do it on purpose to embarrass them, because he kind of likes them,
right?
But because he kind of likes them, maybe like before they did that. And maybe they didn't consult him, but you would have thought he would have had some influence before he did the $500,000. You know, what are you doing? You guys got to change that.
But,
you know?
But going behind the scenes, it seems like, again, we don't know for sure. Sixers, they end up doing the right thing, and they've done numerous, and we should probably highlight, numerous good things since then. They're spending their own money.
Yeah.
They're doing a ton of things, the Sixers. So they got bad PR in the beginning. They should be getting good PR for the things they are doing right now and have done since. But apparently the story was Michael Rubin was mad day one. So I don't know how much discussion really happened with it seems like. You know what I mean? Because Michael Rubin doesn't have a say. You would think he would have some sort of a say.
Uh-huh.
So forget Embiid. I don't even know if it got to him.
Yeah.
Because he's the minority owner. Mm-hmm. So if it didn't get to the minority owner, I doubt it got to the players.
Or it probably got to the minority owner. He was just outvoted.
That's possible, too. Yeah.
All right. So before we get to the next call, and I'm so bugged by this toilet paper thing. Here's what I think may have happened. I think what may have happened is that I left it on the cashier's area mm-hmm. after they checked it.
Yeah, for you to go bag it and everything.
And the person, maybe, I don't want to make an accusation here, and it's this is anonymous. I don't mm-hmm. even remember who it was to check me out. May have said, oh, he left a 12-pack of toilet paper? That's now mine.
Mm.
It's paid for. No way you can trace it. Blah, blah, blah.
Do you remember carrying it out of the store?
I I'm an idiot because I don't remember, like, from hour to hour.
I mean, I'm the same
stuff.
Way.
I'm, like, so far, like, projecting ahead with my brain that I can't remember whether I carried it out or not. My sense is I did, that I threw it in the back seat.
Do you think there's any way, do you put stuff on top of your car? Because I'm notorious for putting stuff on top.
No.
And driving away with stuff on top of my car.
No, because it's an SUV and it's high.
Right, right.
It's high to reach up there.
Oh, to get it back down.
Yeah. But you know what? It's like a donation. It's like when I got pickpocketed in India. I financed a village.
Yeah, you mentioned that, yeah. And now that's a person who makes less than you. I think it's fair to say a person
who's toilet paper.
Could use it a little
bit. I still got four rolls left.
Yeah, but that's tight. You're going to have to make another trip.
I'm eating less.
I'll tell you what, the corner stores in Fishtown are stocked.
You're cooking more, eating less.
Yeah, I'm eating less. I only eat twice a day.
Oh, twice a day.
But I've been going with the protein shake during the day before I come here.
Like as
protein
a meal replacement?
Shake with blueberries.
Oh, that's supposed to be good.
And that's it. And then just dinner.
And that's it all day.
Yes.
So, but you're cooking all this elaborate stuff.
Well, for dinner.
But just once a day.
Just for dinner. Yeah. And I have leftovers.
A lot of people are talking about a pandemic, putting on pandemic pounds.
Well, you know, because you sit around, you're bored, you eat, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people do.
Oh, real fast. You know, they claim a lot of kids are going to be a baby boom in 9 months. And they're referring to the kids as children of the corn. That's the saying. No, I didn't write that. That's what's out there.
I thought they were corennials.
Come, apparently, they're going to be children of the corn.
It's one way to make light of it. I'll be honest with you. I think I don't want to see another graphic of the coronavirus cell.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why do we do this? It's like we glorify this thing, and it looks like a ball with spikes on it. We got to put it on every story.
We don't do it with cancer.
No,
we don't do it with the flu.
Exactly.
We're
paying tribute to it by using the graphics.
Yeah,
stop. The media outlets, stop that.
We didn't do it with Ebola, and that was killing people
exactly.
at the time. Yeah.
All right, let's go Ryan in Lumberton. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
What's going on, Mike?
What's up, Ryan?
You know what all this toilet paper talk keeps making me think of Seinfeld, the whole thing. I don't have a square to spare. Remember that?
Yeah, we don't have a square to spare, apparently.
Yeah, I can't spare a square, not even a measly ply.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to talk about
that. What was the actress's name, Tyra? She appeared in, she came later as somebody's wife. What show was that? What the hell is her name? All right, anyway, go ahead with your point, Ryan.
Anyway, well, because I want to talk about the baseball season. Because Tyrone had said earlier he thinks that maybe they could do baseball without fans and that baseball could go on without fans. And initially I would have agreed, but I think you would also agree that tennis could do without fans as well. And yet they've decided that, no, they're not going to have Wimbledon at all.
If there was ever a sport of social distancing, it would be tennis, that you could perform without fans.
Well, or golf, and of course, golf's canceling too.
Yeah, well, right? Golf, you're gonna have at least like eight people on the tee if you have golf. At tennis, you only have to have an umpire and two players.
All right, I mean that's a fair point, but either way, the point is that these sports where like tennis, where you can't have social distancing, they're not gonna play at all with or without fans. So it makes me think that baseball would kind of look, you know, really out of place to even try to play. It's kind of like the whole social pressure thing of, oh, you're the only one that's doing this. How come you're the one that's doing this? Why aren't you doing the responsible thing? I think it would be a bad look if they tried to continue without fans.
I don't like it at all. To me, it doesn't mean anything to me without fans. Yeah, it's just like you're shoehorning the sport. We need sports so much that we got to now put it in a studio. I'm not with it.
I agree. And also, another thing I wanted to say is that I do have to wonder, because, and you brought this up at the top of the show, that Dr. Fauci and a lot of the other experts have been saying that it's likely that this probably, until we, you know, vaccinate against this, it's likely that this is going to come back in the fall when it gets cold again. It makes me wonder, is the NFL season going to be impacted by this?
Everything could be impacted by this. That's what we were talking about yesterday with Sal. The NFL guaranteed that we're going to start on time with the season. You can't guarantee anything right now. You can try to optimistically spin it to keep your fans interested, but don't sell me the BS that it's definitely going to happen.
I agree.
All right, man. You have a general knowledge question. Here it is.
Yes,
presidential knowledge, multiple choice, presidential knowledge, U.S. president. Who succeeded Thomas Jefferson as president? Was it A, James Madison, B, John Quincy Adams, or C, James K. Polk?
It was A, James Madison.
Jimmy Madison is correct. Hold on a second. All right. Presidential trivia. Out of the shoots.
Yeah, that's good.
Here's the thing about tennis, though. It's an international game more than, well, maybe golf is just as international, but tennis is very international. You're asking people to come to the UK where they had a problem. You're asking them to come from all over the world, all over Europe, and probably that's a factor.
That's playing a much bigger role than the fan part of it, apparently. So, and we're also still in the midst of it right now. The assumption is that this is going to flatten out. Now, maybe it comes back, but the assumption is that it's flattened out. But it's hard to make plans right now until it flattens out. And I think that's when people will start to decide what can and can't we do.
I understand what these leagues are trying to do. They're trying to keep people's interest in it. They don't want them to completely divorce themselves from the possibility of our league, right? So they throw this out there. And we got to be smart enough to think, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Adam Schefter, who's not an emotional person, got really mad at the NFL.
Did he?
Yeah, for basically acting like every other sport's making some sort of contingency. Mm-hmm. Like, even the plans they're making, they don't know if they're going to do them. They're just trying to see, would it be possible? They're making contingencies. NFL has made, to this point, zero contingencies. So they may end up getting caught with their pants down if they act. You get what I'm saying? Like, make a contingency.
It's possible that they are making contingencies, they're just not making it public.
But you would have but you have to talk to the owners about it, and they have not discussed it with the owners yet, according to the people plugged in.
Yeah, but you know how these owners are. You know how the NFL is. They're all about the business part of it. So if they can keep people in the dark for as long as they can and get people to keep talking about their sport, and they have a contingency plan, well, they'll enact that when they have to.
I think it'll get
They're sneaky.
You're right about that.
610-620-975. One line's open. You can grab it. General Knowledge Wednesday, giving away stuff. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
Knowledge Wednesday. This is also a double header on get to know your NBC Sports Philadelphia personnel. Double header today. Yeah, the players don't like to play double headers. Well, in this situation, Jim Salisbury will join us at 3:30, and we'll talk about whether there will indeed be a baseball season. And then Ricky Batalico at 4:30. The last time we talked to these guys was at the same time.
Yes, I don't think...
on their trip to Florida.
Yes, since I've been with the show, you have never talked to Ricky Batalico on his own.
Really?
I don't think so.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
On his own. Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk to Ricky Bell at 4:30. Jim Salisbury, 3:30.
And I'm also interested. I don't know his full history. So you can find that out.
Who, Ricky's?
No, I know Ricky's.
Oh, Salisbury?
Yeah.
He worked...
he worked up in New York, right?
He worked for the Providence Journal, I believe, before he came here.
Providence Journal?
He's from Massachusetts.
Oh, well, I can hear that.
You can?
Yeah, a
little
bit.
I don't really hear it in him.
A little bit.
Yeah,
certain
he worked
for
the Providence Journal.
Certain words.
And I guess he covered the Red Sox before he came here. But we'll get his history. All right, let's go Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, Mike. Sorry to hear about the toilet paper thing. I thought
the damnedest thing, isn't it?
I thought you'd have one of those fancy toilets, you know, that's like a car wash for your butt.
No, man. I got regular toilets.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it's
I,
it's
think,
I got a fancy toilet room, as Tyron calls it, which is separate from the actual bathroom part. Yeah. But that's about all I have. And here's the thing. My brain is so occupied with like stuff that it's just crammed with stuff. Like, I don't focus on the moment, you know? And so the moment of that toilet paper somehow got lost on me. Now think about that. It's a big satchel of toilet paper. And what the hell's wrong with me?
I've left stuff like that on the bottom rung of the cart.
Little stuff, though, that's hidden, right? This is a 12-pack. Yeah. How could I misplace a 12-pack of toilet paper?
Well, I tell you, I mean, I've done it with big stuff, like, you know, a big carton of soda or something that was...
Yeah.
You put it on the bottom of the cart, and you empty the top of the cart, you push it back, and you just don't see it.
You know, you're right. I don't use the bottom of the cart for that reason. I lost a pack of chicken there once. Like one of those big four breast packs, you know?
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I lost it.
That's a big loss.
It is.
Hey, you know, as far as the resumption of the seasons, you know, I mean, I think at this point in time, it's still way up in the air. But, I mean, if it turns out, I'm a healthcare provider up in Northeast PA, and we're seeing a lot of COVID. But, you know, if the hydroxychloroquine and the azithromycin turns out to be effective, and, you know, they're doing those studies, if it turns out to be effective, that's going to be a game changer as far as, you know, what can happen with the seasons.
Yeah, why would the people have died from it?
Well, at this point, I don't think, you know, they're ramping up the supplies of those drugs, and the impression I get is that there are people that haven't been able to get them, haven't gotten them, or...
Well,
they
but it was very irresponsible for the President of the United States to throw that out there, though, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it was premature. I agree.
All right.
I think it was premature. But, you know, there are a lot of companies that are, you know, committed to making millions of doses. So I think, you know, certainly by the middle of the summer when they resuming sports, you know, there ought to be plenty of supplies. I'm just hoping that the studies they're doing now, particularly in New York, where most of this is coming from, at least to our area, it's coming out of New York. I'm hoping those studies prove that it's effective. Because
so do I. But again, that's so speculative, that particular substance. It was so irresponsible, and somebody died from it.
Yeah, and the other part is one of the side effects is heart issues. So you'd have people who are vulnerable already. People with lung and heart issues are already vulnerable if they were to take something that causes a side effect of heart. Like, it's still too early. Obviously, we all want something to work, but it's way too early to start naming name on drugs that just aren't safe to take. And the demand ramped up because people heard something and they're looking for hope.
Yes.
But we have no clue yet that it works, and it's dangerous to just start stuff without knowing.
Seth in Lehigh Valley. What's up, Seth? How you doing? Hello, Seth. Seth. Seth!
Hello, hello.
What's up, buddy? You're on. Come on.
Oh, sorry. now, your toilet paper situation, I tend to do the same thing when I go to restaurants and I get a doggy bag. I would say about 75% of the time I leave the food on the table. So I know what you're doing with the toilet paper leaving at the grocery store.
I don't understand how I did it. I'm like, you know, my head is like filled with, I got to do this, got to do that before I get to the show. I want to talk about this. And I just like completely zone out and left a 12 pack of toilet paper in a grocery store probably.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Hey, where I'm at right now, I'm hiking on the Appalachian Trail. I see a lot of potential toilet paper and these leaves all around for it.
You're hiking on the Appalachian Trail right now?
I am, absolutely.
Well, how many people are you running into?
I saw one guy so far. But, you know, you got to find these backwoods places to go because every trail you go on these days is packed with people. So I found a good one.
Wow. I mean, that's a pretty dangerous situation to do it right now, isn't it?
Why?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Can people get to you if something goes wrong?
Oh, yeah. It's
people are
it's the trail.
But people are quarantined. Like you're the only one out there.
I'm not.
It's your life. It's your life. I know a lot of people have tried that and found it to be a more miserable experience than they thought.
Well, I'm not going from Georgia to Maine today, so yeah. I'll be all right.
All right.
So my reason I called is I think you know, just like you guys were saying. I mean, anybody with you know any sort of brain would agree that Joel Embiid wasn't trying to be like malicious or anything like that to the Sixers with what he did. I mean, you know, he is growing up in Cameroon and everything. He's just a guy with a big heart. He's just looking out for, you know, the people that that need help right now.
Yeah.
You know, I think Bob Ford's just, you know, looking for people to read the paper. Which
the timing, you know, was interesting. I mean, he could have done that a week after. You know, he did it the day after.
Yeah. I agree. I mean,
he was sending a message to somebody, and I'm just saying, like, maybe the message could have been a telephone call. And then a couple days later, 500,000.
Yeah. No, you're
right. I don't know what his motive was. I'll be honest with you. Maybe it was pure.
Well,
all right, brother. You want a general knowledge question?
Yeah, sure.
All right, here we go. General knowledge on the Appalachian Trail. what Christmas ballet was composed by Tchaikovsky?
The only Christmas ballet anybody knows is Nutcracker.
That is correct. It is the Nutcracker. Piotr? What was his first name? Piotr?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like Piotr, right?
Piotr. Ilyich.
I've only seen
Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, I've only seen it written. And I've heard people say the last name. I've never heard anybody say.
Yeah, it's first to say in middle?
Never.
Yeah. So, I heard it, like, you know, that's why it stuck in my head as a weird spelling of his first name.
It's the worst thing about reading a lot sometimes.
What, back that in sticks day. In your head?
No, certain words that you've never heard anybody say, you're guessing how to pronounce it. You don't know.
Yeah.
And then one day you can sound like an idiot, even though you know a big word, because you know what it means, but you've never heard anybody say it, so you sound like a moron.
Well, here's the beauty. Here's the beauty for your hockey fans. The reason I know that his middle name is Ilyich is because there was a hockey player named Mike Ilyich.
Oh, look at you.
See? I brought a hockey name into the picture.
There you go. That's bust out.
Coming up, 3 o'clock. Continuation of General Knowledge Wednesday and the Mike Misnelli Show and Jim Salisbury. We'll be back after this.